Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Vida Govardhan Gita Vrindavandam Gita Navadvipam Gita Gangamaya Gita Jamunamaya Gita Tulsi Devi Gita Bhakti Devi Gita Samaveda Bhakti Vinda Gita Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Gita Shri Jagannath Swami Gita Shri Baladev Subhadra Gita Shri Shri Nitai Gaurasundara Gita Srila Prabhupada Gita Srila Prabhupada Gita Srila Prabhupada Gita Nitai Gaurasundara Gita All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to Sri Guru
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Brahmanas failed to reply, even with a simple yes or no, the chastiser of the enemy, Kurukshetra. The cowherd boys returned disappointed to Krishna and reported this to them. Verse 13. Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Universe, simply laughed. And he again addressed the cowherd boys, showing them the way men act in this world. Purport. By laughing, Lord Krishna indicated to the cowherd boys that they need not be angry at the ritualistic brahmanas, but should understand that one who begs will often be refused. Om Madhana Pradabandas Yoganajanas Surabhutas. This is a very significant chapter in the 10th canto, when Krishna and Balaram with their cowherd friends are herding the cows. And every day around noon, Krishna and Balaram would appear to become hungry. Now, how is it that the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, who is Aparam, self-satisfied, Aptakam, who fulfills his own desires, he's becoming hungry? This is the glory of Krishna, even above and beyond the infinite avatars who emanate from him, that more exalted than the opulence and majesty of Vaikuntha and the various lords of Vaikuntha, in whose presence we must bow down and worship with great awe and reverence. This is the beginning of spiritual practice, but it's not the end. The goal and object of the spiritual endeavor is to develop pure love for Krishna. In the dealings of pure love, Krishna and Balaram appear to become hungry, because more than their desire that we worship them, which is necessary for our own purification, is their higher desire to interact with us intimately. And therefore, Krishna, above and beyond all the avatars, appears in a form more human than superhuman, more natural than supernatural, to evoke our natural intimate love and affection, for which he is really hungry. And therefore, every day around noon, the Lord will become hungry to taste the love which is manifest in the various preparations of his numerous mothers, Mother Jashoda, Mother Rohini, and all the mothers of all the gopas. Because when they would take lunch, you know, every morning. And How did Krishna and Balaram become hungry? Because the gopas told them that we're hungry. Cowherd boys were not hungry. They were having too much fun playing with Krishna and Balaram and herding the cows. But they would tell Krishna that we're hungry because that would make Krishna feel hungry. And then he would eat just so that his cowherd boys would eat. And while enjoying their picnic in the meadows of Braj, each boy sampling the affection of his mother, actually the affection of his mother for Krishna, which was tasted in the preparations they made for the boys to take in their lunchboxes. The cowherd boys, after sampling their lunch, he would say, "Krishna, this is so good, please try it." And Krishna would take the remnants of the cowherd boys. And then Krishna would say, "But your sons are farmers, I'm the son of a king, the king of the gopas. My prasad is very opulent, so try some of mine." And they would exchange prasad. And this was a great wonder, even to Lord Brahma, who was very astounded that this little gopa in Braj had killed the fierce Aga, who was so terrifying even to the devas in heaven that he simply rolled his eyes upwards. They would hide behind the clouds. And Krishna so effortlessly, so playfully, killed that great demon after the gopas went dancing into his mouth, knowing very well that this is a demon waiting to devour us, but Krishna to save us. And Krishna was amazed at the workings of his extreme magic. And he had to go in. Not that he had any great longing to kill that demon, but he had to rescue the gopas who were so totally dependent on him. After which, Brahma, observing this picnic, was thinking, "Who but my father Narayan would kill Agasura? But my father Narayan would not be taking the remnants of gopas in a forest picnic in a meadow of a cowherd settlement." So even Brahma was bewildered. Who is this boy? So on this particular day, Krishna and Balaram sent the gopas to the brahmanas to ask them, because they were performing a yajna and they were making offerings to the Lord. So it made sense that they were in that, since they were in that neighborhood, they should give their offerings to Krishna, because they were performing sacrifice for Vishnu. But when the gopas came and told these brahmanas, with great reverence, they showed so much respect for the brahmanas and made their very humble plea, "Krishna and Balaram are hungry. Can you give them something to eat?" They did not so much as even respond with a yes or no. They simply ignored the cowherd boys, which meant they were ignoring Krishna. And of course, we know thereafter, Krishna sent the gopas back to ask for the brahmanas' wives, who just gave everything to Krishna. Now this is significant in terms of the appearance of Lord Jagannath, which we're celebrating today by his Snan Yatra. Lord Jagannath appeared from the deity Nilamadava, who was being worshipped by Shabras in the Satya Yuga. Shabras are farmers. And the Shabra king, Vishwasu, was so concerned if the great brahmanas, especially from a city like Avantipur, came to hear that this deity of Lord Vishnu, Nilamadava, was being worshipped exclusively by farmers, they would retaliate. And so they were quite secretive about their worship. And even when Vidyapati, dispatched by King Indrajumna of Avanti, to investigate the story he heard of Nilamadava being worshipped in Purushottama Kshetra, when Vidyapati wandered into that Shabra district, nobody gave him any indication that the deity was being worshipped at night on the mountain towering above that farmer's settlement. But Vidyapati noticed, because when he arrived in the village, the chieftain was not home. He was received very respectfully, cordially, by his daughter Lalita, and served very appropriately. And then her father came home later. Vidyapati took up residence in that house, but he noticed, and eventually he married Lalita, but he noticed something very unusual. After farming and what the Shabras do all day, he would come home at night, and then he would leave. And when he returned in the early morning hours, the whole house would be permeated with fragrances like sandalwood, musk, and camphor, just from this farmer, Vishwasu, returning back from the mountain. And Vidyapati asked Lalita, "What is going on?" And she said, "I'm not supposed to tell. Since you're my husband, I will reveal that he goes out at night and joins with the demigods in the worship of Nilamadava." And then, of course, Vidyapati went back, told King Indrajumna. And the whole sequence of events, which transpired over yugas, and the disappearance of Nilamadava, interestingly, from Indrajumna and the Brahmanas, but reappearing as Lord Jagannath, and insisting as part of his appearance and worship that he would be served every year by the Shabras, who would become the deities, who would place the deity of Lord Jagannath on the chariot and care for him during Amavasya, that period between Snanyatra, when he appears to get sick, and Rathyatra, when he again comes into public. So the appearance of Lord Jagannath, today is his appearance day, and therefore we're performing his bath on his birthday. And his appearance is told in the Skanda Purana and other histories. It was the same patterns, but different details. It's explained how he appears. The deeper intricacies and mysteries as to why he appears were not revealed to this world until Kanaya Konteya, devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, revealed the deeper dynamics behind this appearance of this very special deity who appears, and even according to the histories, you know, when he washed ashore as Dara Brahman, this great log, which could not be moved even by all the king's horses and men and great powerful wrestlers and deities. But he told King Indrajumna in a dream, "Put Vidyapati on one side of the log, my old servant Vishwasu on the other, and hold kirtan, and the log will very easily be moved," which it was. And then a mysterious sculptor appeared, Ananta Maharana, who is actually Lord Vishnu in disguise. Instead, I need 3 weeks in seclusion to carve the deity anyone enters the room where I'm carving before that period, they will become blind by seeing the unfinished deity. They will become deaf, and I will disappear. And after 2 weeks, when Gundiksha, King Indrajumna's wife, could not hear the chisel, and out of her motherly sentiments, she was fearing, the sculptor must be hungry. He's been in there for 2 weeks carving. He hasn't come out. Nobody's gone in. He must be hungry. So she persuaded her husband, King Indrajumna, to open the doors, which even great kings, they have to follow the mandates of their wives. He opened the doors. The sculptor was gone. And the three forms appeared to be unfinished, as they appear even today. This is all true on one level, but on a deeper level, this form of the Lord is just, as all forms of the Lord, appropriate to his mood, his lila, and his mission in this world. So, explains how when Krishna and Balaram, you know, became young boys, they had to go to Mathura to fulfill Kamsa. And they promised Nanda Maharaj that they, you know, they had to stay a little time to be with their parents, Vasudeva Devaki, who hadn't seen them since the night of Krishna's birth. And Nanda Maharaj, who loved Vasudev more than himself, he had to agree. But then Vasudeva Devaki said, Krishna, you know, you never went to school. You should go to Gurukul at Avantipur. And Krishna complied. He didn't come back. Later, he moved the Vrishnis and Yadavas to his fortified city in the sea, Dwarka, from which he led his armies out to fulfill his mission to annihilate the miscreants, which does not require the Lord. The external energy is perfectly competent to annihilate the miscreants, but to enliven the devotees. But the queens in Dwarka, they noticed that Krishna was becoming more and more absent-minded as time went on. Because he was torn between the entanglement of duty in Dwarka and the ropes of love, which were always drawing him back to Braj, he was first becoming very absent-minded. Then he was bordering on madness and eventually entering into periods of delirium. And the queens, who were caring for Krishna with such affection and attention, could not understand why he's not even noticing this. He's not even with us. His mind and heart are elsewhere. Day and night, he's not even with us. So they asked Mother Rohini, you were there in Braj. What happened there? That Krishna can't leave, even though his body is in our care, being served with such affection and attention and opulence. He's not even with us. And during the night, we hear him calling cows. What is it that happened there in Braj? That Krishna's mind and heart cannot leave that village. And Mother Rohini said, I can tell you but we have to be very vigilant, because if I begin to narrate Braj Leela, the sweetness and charm of that song will draw Krishna and Balaram from wherever they are, which at the time was in the Sudarma Assembly Hall. So the queens were pleading, we can't go there to Braj because we're Aishwaryamayi, so please sing that kirtan of Braj so we'll understand why our Lord and husband is not even with us. And maybe we can understand how to please and serve him appropriately. So Mother Rohini said, I've already told you this Braj Kirtan will draw Krishna and Balaram from the Sudarma Hall to our Kirtan. And if he hears this Braj Kirtan, he may just leave us. He'll go there. We'll lose him altogether. His mind and heart are already there. If he hears the Braj Kirtan, he'll just, who knows? We'll just lose him altogether. So somebody has to stand guard at the door to indicate to me when Krishna and Balaram are coming, so I'll stop the narration. Because if they hear, they'll be lost to us. Now, nobody wanted to guard the door because everyone wanted to hear. The queens of Dwarka were very eager to hear his Braj Katha. But Subhadra, very wise in understanding the nature of the Leela, said, I'll guard the door and I will tell you when Krishna and Balaram come. So Subhadra stood in the doorway and stretched her arms out to the sides to block Krishna and Balaram from entering into the Braj Kirtan, and simultaneously to indicate to Mother Rohini when they're coming. And on that condition, Mother Rohini began to sing. But the sweetness and the charm and the love of her Braj Kirtan, when it entered the ears of Subhadra Devi, her eyes grew wide and dilated, and her outstretched arms withdrew inside her body like a tortoise. And she became as immobile as a block of wood. And true to Mother Rohini's words, in the Sudarma Hall, Krishna and Balaram were attentive to their duties. They felt the irresistible draw of Braj Bhakti permeating the song of Mother Rohini. And they were attracted. And as they were running towards the room where Subhadra was guarding the door, she couldn't stop them, nor could she signal to Mother Rohini because she didn't have any arms or hands. Krishna and Balaram saw Subhadra in that form, and they each stood on one side and they listened, their ears to the door, and when they heard Mother Rohini's kirtan, their eyes grew wide and dilated, their hands and feet withdrew inside their body like a tortoise. And right at that instant, Narada Muni appeared. And seeing the Mahabhav Prakash, which he had never witnessed before, in great exultation he began singing, I have seen, I have seen! And hearing Narada singing, in great exultation, Krishna and Balaram came back to external consciousness. And tried to hide what they just revealed, but Narada kept saying, "I have seen, I have seen. Please, my dear Lord Krishna, appear in a deity form that can be worshipped in the form of that Mahabhav Prakash which I just witnessed." And Krishna, servant of his servant, could not refuse the words of Narada. Nevertheless, Krishna's condition continued to worsen. After this incident, he became even more absent-minded, to the extent that he would regularly lose consciousness altogether. And the queens devised different strategies to revive him. But one day, everything failed, and they could not revive the consciousness of Lord Krishna, who lay on the floor, absorbed in something very deep, oblivious to everything transpiring in Dwarka. Again, Narada Muni appeared, simultaneous to Uddhava. Narada and Muni were very dear to Krishna. Because of their love and intimacy, they're all-knowing. And they explained to the queens that Krishna is so deeply immersed in his love for Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan that he's not even conscious of Dwarka. In his form, he is not conscious in Dwarka. And simultaneously, we are beholding the beginnings of a very wonderful Leela which is unfolding. Just then, Balaram arrived on the scene. He saw Narada, Uddhava, and Krishna lying unconscious. He evaluated the situation and concluded that Krishna is so deeply immersed in Radha's bhav that, Narada, you should sing Braj Kirtan. That'll definitely revive Krishna's consciousness. And Narada said, "I can do that. But I have one apprehension. Krishna will come back to consciousness, but he will immediately leave. He will be so drawn to Braj that we'll lose him altogether. So if you want me to sing Braj Kirtan, you had better tell Dharuka to prepare Krishna's chariot, because he's just going to fly off at the speed of the wind. Is that what you want me to do?" And Uddhava, Krishna's very wise counselor, cousin, friend, was contemplating the situation and what Narada and Baladeva were discussing. And he expressed his very deep concern that back in Braj, in the absence of the life and soul of Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram, everyone is dying. If Krishna goes there and sees them in that condition, his situation will be much more precarious than it is now. And we'll never get him back. So Narada responded that, "Uddhava, you are Krishna's messenger. Krishna's messenger of love to the Vrijavasis. So why don't you go there and tell them that Krishna is coming?" that will put them in such a jubilant and festive mood. And if Krishna sees them in that condition, he'll be very happy. Hearing this, Uddhava became morose. He said, Naradaji, your wish is my command. But I have a very deep apprehension. We've already been there. We've done that. I took Krishna's message there before to console the Brijavasis. That was just Krishna's order. He told me to deliver his message to the Brijavasis and console them in their grief due to his absence. Very confident of my ability to serve and please Krishna in this manner, I set off. But entering Braj, my pride was pulverized. I thought I was such a great devotee. Entering Braj, I realized I'm not a devotee at all. Uddhava was saying. And then seeing the condition of the Brijavasis, everyone is crying. And I'm supposed to console them. Now in this world, if someone is crying and you ask them, why are you so disturbed? It's usually something like, my wife left me, or my husband died. And then you say, but these relationships are temporary. Do not lament. They're going to end anyway. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. This does not apply to the Brijavasis. They're not lamenting some temporary relationship. They are deeply immersed in lamentation due to separation from the Lord of their life. So I can't tell them don't lament, and I can't tell them don't cry, because to cry for Krishna is the perfection of life. Not superficially for show, shedding tears from the eyes, but crying from the heart. Out of love. This is the perfection of life. I could not console them, and I could not tell them, don't cry. I was completely helpless. What consolation could I offer? And then Uddhava began crying. And then he revealed his own lamentation. I went there to deliver Krishna's message. But then I realized that's not why I went. Krishna sent me there not to deliver his message. He sent me there to witness what is pure love. And I spent there. I stayed there 2 months. And the only consolation I could give to the Brijavasis was that I promise, I, Uddhava, Krishna's counselor and advisor, in Dwarka, I will advise you. You have to go yourself. You are the life and soul of Vrindavan. Without you, they are like a fish out of water. They will surely perish. You must go yourself. If I go back to Braj, the Brijavasis will not be pleased with me. They're going to call me a liar. I promised Mother Yashoda to her face, I'll send Krishna back. He never came. And I did tell him repeatedly, continually, you must go. He never went. He just says, yes, yes, I'm going. But he never goes. He never came. I can't go back to Braj and face Mother Yashoda again. And Uddhava was crying. Narada spoke up. Baladev, you must go. Baladev started crying. His heart was breaking. He said, I'm Krishna's big brother. his guru, I've been telling him all along, my brother, you must go. Why do you send your servant? You go. And Krishna keeps saying, yes, I should go, but he never goes. Baladev was crying piteously. He said, I promised Mother Yashoda, I'll tell my little brother he must come back. And every order I ever gave him, he followed except this one. To this day, he's not returned. And Baladev was crying, and Uddhava was crying, we can't go. We cannot face Mother Yashoda again. As everyone was crying uncontrollably, Subhadra Devi rose to the occasion. She said, I'll go. I'll go to Braj. I'll go right to Mother Yashoda. I'll sit in her lap. I'll dry the tears from her eyes with my sari. And I'll tell her, Mata, Krishna is coming. All three of us left together on chariots, three chariots. He's on his way. Believe me. But he's delayed because all along the way, the kings and the sadhus, they're lining up to off to make their offerings and worship him and extend their hospitality. And Krishna, ever bound to reciprocate the love of his devotees, is reciprocating on the road. But he's on his way. He's on the path to Braj. He's coming. We all left together. He's just in delay. And then Subhadra Devi said, after seeing Mother Yashoda, I'll go to the gopis and I'll tell them, oh, my sisters, don't ever listen to men. They can't be trusted. They're crooked. You know, Uddhava, Baladev, who promised you they'd send Krishna. He never came. But I'm a girl like you. You can believe me. And do believe me. Krishna's coming. He's on the way. So prepare a festival to receive and serve him. And then Baladev said, but Subhadra can't go alone. Now Mataji's need to be protected. I'll go. I'll go with Subhadra. So, prepare two chariots. Baladev got on one chariot and set off with Subhadra Devi right behind him. And then Narada was confident and ecstatic. He began to sing his Braj Kirtan. And instantaneously, Krishna jumped up and assumed his threefold bending form, which he never reveals in Dwarka, and was about to play this flute. And he went, where's my flute? Who stole my flute? This is the work of the gopis. And then he ran off to catch the gopis, and he saw Narada and Uddhava. Narada and Uddhava, what are you doing in Vrindavan? We are here to put you on a chariot. Because Krishna was so intoxicated with Radha Prem, he said, we're here to personally put you on the chariot and send you off to find your flute. And they helped him to board the chariot, and Daruka spurred the horses on at the speed of the wind. Meanwhile, Baladev and Subhadra had already arrived in Braj, and they were not prepared for what they were to witness there. When they saw the kunj of Srimati Radhika, where the heart of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, was in a dying condition, with her head resting on the hands of Lalita Vishaka, and surrounded by her astasakis, were all on the verge of death, and all of Braj was dying because of the absence of the life of Braj and the condition of the heart of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani. All of Vrindavan was in a dying condition. And seeing this, Baladev and Subhadra became petrified. Again, their arms withdrew, and their feet inside their bodies, and their eyes grew wide, and they were just like petrified and immobilized. They did not know what to do in such a condition. They'd never seen any such thing in Dwarka. Their form conformed to their inner mood and bhav. They could not tell Mother Yashoda that Krishna is coming. They could not face the gopis. And all they could do is just stand there and watch. As the sakis put a cotton swab before Srimati's nostrils to see if the tiniest fibers were moving in the least. And seeing that there was still some trace of very faint life left within her heart, they continued chanting in her ears, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, to the amazement of everyone, Abhimanyu arrived in the kunj of Srimati Radharani. And with tears flowing from his eyes, he fell in the dust and prayed to her lotus feet, My dear Srimati, all my life I've never touched you, but today I beg to take the dust from your lotus feet, because I'm the pujari of Katyayani. My worshipable deity is Purnamasi, and she, who is Yogamaya, is orchestrating this whole drama to nourish Krishna's Paraki above. And in that drama, we are all just dancing like puppets. And it was Yogamaya's arrangement. It was an arranged marriage for me to marry your shadow. And I never even touched your shadow. What to speak of your pure form? Today, I will touch your lotus feet to take the dust upon my head as my ultimate service to Krishna's treasure. And he took the dust from Srimati Radharani's feet upon his head. And then Kutila arrived. She took the dust of Srimati's feet and placed it on her head as kumkum. And she confessed that all my life I have been proclaiming that you are unchaste, and I have been proud that I am the most chaste lady in Braj. And to crush my pride, Krishna played a trick. He was inflicted by such a severe fever that no Ayurvedic physician could heal. And Krishna himself proclaimed the only cure. Water from Jamuna carried in a pot with 100 holes on the head of a perfectly chaste lady. If not so much as one drop spills, that water will cure me and save my life. So the Brijabasi is frantic to save Krishna. Who's the most chaste lady? Everybody knows, and she confirms it herself, it's Kutila. So they gave her a pot with 100 holes, and with great confidence she filled it with water and pulled it out of Jamuna to place on her head, and all the water. And everybody asked, what kind of chaste lady are you? And Jatila was watching this in the bushes. And she was losing all her confidence. She took a pot with 50 holes. And when no one was looking, she put it in Jamuna took it out, and all the water just...
But Krishna's dying. And everyone reflected.
That lady, who we deride as being unchaste, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, she is the real chaste lady. Only she can save Krishna's life. So Kutila is explaining that, Srimati, you are the most chaste lady. I am unchaste. I beg for the dust of your lotus feet, and my hope is that by placing that on my head, I too will develop this quality of chastity. This is my role in Yogamaya's drama, in which we are all just dancing. And now, being blessed with the dust of your feet, at last, my life has become perfect. So then, to the amazement of everyone, next to arrive was Chandravali, with her chief maidservant, in opposition to Srimati, Jaya. Chandravali came before the form of Srimati and fainted, her tears washing the feet of Srimati Radharani. And with great emotion and choked voice, she proclaimed to Srimati, Krishna is yours. And it was only to nourish your leftist bhav that Krishna would come to my kunj. But I must tell you that Krishna was never with me. When he stayed in my kunj, he was thinking only of you, no one else. And just then, Krishna's chariot arrived at the kunj. And Krishna fell down in the dust in the kunj, praying, O Radhe, please also grant me that dust to take upon my head. But seeing her condition, Krishna's arms withdrew inside his body. His eyes grew wide and dilated. He was adrift in the ocean of Radha Viraha Lila. And then a gentle breeze carried the fragrance of Krishna's sweet, succulent form into the nostrils of Srimati Radharani, which served as Sanjeevani to restore her life. And when the Lita sang into her dear most friend's ears, Krishna has come, her eyes began to flutter, and her dream ended. And she opened her eyes, but what did she see? Krishna's condition. He's petrified. She told Vishakha, take care of Krishna. And Vishakha sang into the ears of Krishna, Radhe is here beside you. That was the message, the medicine of his soul, and his life returned. Their eyes met, and they forgot all those years of tears, and they found themselves in a flower bed in Nidivan. It was Brahma Muhurta. The birds were just beginning to sing, and that song awakens the forest. The Manjaris dressed Srimati in a sky blue sari. Lalita began the arti. Vishakha began to sing. The Sakis began to dance. Radha and Krishna ascended the altar. And as Krishna gazed into Srimati's eyes, like a honeybee relishing nectar from a lotus, he began to explain the Siddhanta, that in Tatva there is no separation between us. But to exalt your leftist mood in the bhav of separation, I enacted this lila. Your love is more vast than an ocean, and I'm tossed in the waves of that ocean like a log, which will one day wash ashore on the beach in Jagannath Puri. And that form will remain there to be worshipped according to the desire and the prayer of Narada Muni. When he first saw these three forms of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra at the door, as Mother Rohini sang her Braj Kirtan, I will remain there in that temple in Jagannath Puri in a dark form, in that mood which Narada beheld, immersed in feelings of separation from you. And you too will come to Jagannath Puri in a golden form. And when you eternally dance down the road, Kudgundicha, then all the devotees will be eligible to enter into the leelas of Braj simply by taking the ropes of the chariot, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, simply by seeing the Rath Yatra. And in that way, I will be free from the ropes of duty and bound by the unsevered love of the Brijabasis forever, from which there is no escape. Srila Prabhupada was very, in his childhood, just as a very young boy, leading the community in Rath Yatra. And his uncle told one of the devotees that he asked Srila Prabhupada, where are you taking Lord Jagannath? And Srila Prabhupada, a young boy, about 5 years old, said, I'm taking him to San Francisco. Because the alternate feature of pure love for Krishna is unrestrained compassion for these souls in this world who are dying in ignorance of the treasure which is our natural inheritance by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So as Krishna revealed the Tatva to Srimati Radharani, the morning arti, Mangal arti, continued. And this is what we are entering and participating in every day as we prepare ourselves to follow in the footsteps of the great souls on the path to Braj. And the most essential qualification for success is to chant the holy name, because all realizations come by serving the holy name with great care and attention, free of material desires and offenses, and in the mood which Mahaprabhu emphasized as the most crucial of the eight verses, which is the ultimate essence of all Vedic wisdom, Shikshastakam. And the one verse he emphasized, saying you should wear this on the string of the holy name and wear it always around your neck, Trinadapi Sunichena. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. What's it? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Where was the flute in Braj? Krishna doesn't have a flute in Dwarka. The gopis were holding on to it. Keeping it for Krishna's return. anything else? Keeping it safely for Krishna's return. So today, we will be bathing Lord Jagannath in commemoration of his birthday. His bath day is his birthday. This is the day he actually did wash ashore. Jagannath Puri to become the deity of separation enshrined in the temple according to Narada's prayer and King Indrajuma's desire, and by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Lord Jagannath has come to us in the Western world to grant us access into God's kingdom. Yes.
Maharaji, I've heard that every 12 years they manifest new beings.
Yes.
Why is that?
There's something about the 12-year period. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I consider one moment to be 12 years or more. But it's actually says, Yugayatam Yimeshanam. Every moment is a millennium or more. But considering that the Lord is worshipped in Puri eternally, the wooden form needs to be restored to fresh youth every 12 years. And therefore, Dara Brahman descends as a special tree marked with divine emblems by which he's identified as the next deity. So, he's painted every year because, you know, especially the old paints, everything in this material world, even the form of the deity which we see is prone to deterioration. Not that the deity deteriorates, but the form we see is subject to deterioration. So he's painted, repainted every year to make him fresh, and replaced every 12 years to keep him fresh. And some devotees are attentive to see that holy places are restored to keep them fresh. It's called Dham Seva. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that Dham Seva nourishes Nam Seva, which leads to Kam Seva, meaning understanding Krishna's inner desire. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Facilitate the Leela.
Thank you for the wonderful person. Very, very, very funny. Oh. Is this a fish and not a bird?
Is that yours?
That's mine.
No.